to preach tonight. you know, I don't know. I didn't preach. I don't know who knows how many times. But it's like every time you come up, you get a little nervous. And but I'm thankful for the opportunity either way. And I think about the message Pastor Chappelle just preached about almost. I can tell you so many times where I almost didn't do something, or I almost really. We moved to Mississippi for a little bit, and then we came back. And I remember I was severely discouraged, and the Lord used my wife to encourage me. But I know I was almost persuaded to just sit down and say, you know what, I'm just going to chill out for a little bit. And I literally was almost there. And I remember one day we went, and I was like, you know, I mean, I couldn't explain how discouraged I was. And I love soul winning. I love reaching people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. But I was so discouraged that I didn't even have it in me to just go and tell somebody the gospel. And I'm looking at some people that needed to be saved, and I almost didn't go tell them. Yeah. And man, I just remember that day as plain as day. I sent Brother David. I said, David, won't you go on over here and hand these young people some gospel tract? It was a young man named Lamondre. And I said, David, go ahead and hand the guy a gospel tract, because I almost wouldn't. I just didn't want to do it. And David went and handed the young man a gospel tract and began to give him the gospel. And then the next thing you know, I saw three other young people come up to this young man, and they got saved. And then four more beside them came up the same day and got saved. And then the rest of their friends started coming to the park. It was probably about 10 of them that came to the park and started playing basketball. So we played basketball with them, and then those people got saved. And then the next week when we went to pick them up, here go, I think about six or seven more young people that knew these people that just got saved last week. And they say, hey, well, y'all need to tell them what we what y'all told us last week. So we told them how to be saved. Amen. And we saw God save literally, who knows, 20 people, 30 people. Amen. Right when I was almost about persuaded to give up on God. And so I've learned that we better just do God's will until he tell us to do something else. Just do it even when you don't even feel like it. Do it when it's inconvenient. Do it when it hurts. Do it when you hurt. And you never know what's going to come out of it, boy. And so that was a good message, Pastor. And I definitely appreciate it. Let's turn to James chapter number one tonight. James chapter number one tonight. And I'm going to be short as well. I will not hold you like Pharaoh. I'm going to let God's people go. I'm going to let you. I've been known. I get lost in my preaching. So you're going to have to tell me to stop if I go too far. Okay, that'll work. But I prayerfully won't take too long, because I'm going to preach on a message that's in my heart and that hits my heart as I see everything that's going on around America, as I see everything not only in America, but I see everything going on around this world. And I see in our neighborhoods just right around the corner from here, right around the corner from me in Chicago, I see these things going on. And so it hit my heart like a ton of bricks, so much so that, you know, I had to put down a message, you know, and I had to tell people this is the name of the message. I had to tell people this. I'm going to preach to you tonight on the subject, why I hate sin, why I hate sin. And I think about in James chapter number one, verse number 15, let's read the 14. Let's start reading there. And then I'll preach to you tonight. I pray, and then we'll preach tonight. Verse number 14. And we're going to begin to read. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Do not err, my beloved. That's why I want to stop at verse number 16. Do not err, my beloved. Do not err, my beloved. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you again for tonight. We thank you for the messages tonight, Lord God. We thank you for another opportunity to hear the word of God preached. Lord, I pray that I'll do you some justice tonight, Lord. You saved my soul 7 years ago, Lord, this last week. And I'm grateful for that, Lord God. And I pray that I'm being a blessing to you, God. I'm praying that I'm upholding the banner of Jesus Christ. I pray that you'd bless the message tonight. I pray that it go forth and that we'll get a real holy hate for sin, Lord God. Thank you for this opportunity tonight. I pray that you'll bless in Jesus' name. I just want to say in the first place, I'm not going to preach long, but in the first place, I want to say I hate sin because of its pretense. I hate sin because it's deceptive.
Yes, sir.
I hate sin because it is completely to have people fooled, boy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I tell you, it got people's mind just twisted and turned all types of ways. Sin had people thinking something that's truly not true. Sin has people thinking something that is absolutely false. Sin has people thinking that it's okay to do wrong when it's not okay to do wrong. Sin got people thinking that good comes from evil. Sin got people thinking that what's right is actually what's wrong. And what's wrong is actually what's right. Sin is absolutely deceptive. And that's why I hate it. Look at Romans chapter 7, verse number 11. I won't have too many verses for you tonight because I knew I didn't want to preach for too long. I knew if I put down too much, then I have to stand here and preach it all. So I put down a few verses so I know to get away from it. Look what Paul said in Romans chapter 7, verse number 11. For sin, taken occasion by the commandment, deceived me, and by it slew me.
Wow.
He said, sin deceived me.
Yeah, yeah.
It had me completely fooled. And by that sin, I was slain. I was cut down. I was dead. I think all the times where I was running in sin, boy, I just thought it was the coolest thing and the smartest thing and the best thing to hang around with the gangs. And I thought it was the best thing to smoke them cigarettes and that weed and to drink that beer and that alcohol. And I was truly deceived. I thought it was okay. I'm like, well, you know, ain't nothing wrong with that. In fact, I even heard people say, you know, hey, you can drink a little bit of wine for your stomach. Say, I remember my daddy trying to tell me that. He's like, oh, you just go ahead and drink. It's okay. You go ahead and do that. Yeah. It had me so deceived that I got into a vehicle with a young man who had been drinking, and he was going 127 miles on the expressway, and he nodded off behind the wheel in the middle of the night. Had me so deceived that I thought it was okay to hop in the seat with a man that was completely and absolutely busted and disgusted, as we would say. Had me completely confused. Okay, I'm going to hop in this seat with him, and we cool. We chilling.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Go as fast as you want, bro. Yeah. He hit the gas. He nod off. The guy in the back seat say, hey, hey. He wake up. He like, what's up? Dude, you didn't know you was just asleep? Then he asked me, he said, James, why you didn't have no reaction to it? I said, I don't care. Didn't make me a difference. If we crashed, I wasn't scared. I was so deceived. Check this out. I was so deceived. If I had died right then and there, I would have split hell wide open.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
I was so deceived that I thought I was okay if I'd have died in the car.
Yeah.
I thought I was perfectly fine if I'd have just sat in that seat and I'd have came through the front window. I thought I would have been okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm just going to die. That's what I figured. Hey, people die every day.
Yeah.
That's how sin is so deceptive that I almost spent my whole eternity in hell because of it.
Yeah. Wow.
Sin is so deceptive that it deceived Adam and Eve in the beginning.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Satan come up, he say, hey, man, hey, if you eat from this tree, you know, you shall not surely die. After God said, nope, you shall surely die.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
It deceives Eve so much so that she said, you know what, I'm going to go ahead and partake in this even though God said don't do it. Sin is so deceptive that it can even transform the mind. When we know God has said not to do something, we still go and do it.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
And we think it's going to be okay.
Yeah.
May I say nobody under the sun that's ever existed has ever sinned and got away with it.
You're right, preacher.
Not one person has ever sinned and got away with it. So it's so deceptive that we think we can get away with it even if it's in our minds.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
The Bible said that God is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. So we think we so smart. We know God. Can't nobody see this. Oh, Pastor Chappelle can't see me. Oh, Brother so-and-so can't see me. Sister so-and-so can't see me. But the Bible say God looking right at you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He can see you when everybody else can't see you. But somehow we get deceived into thinking that I can get away with this because nobody's looking at me. You forgot that God is everywhere. You forgot that God is ever present.
Yes,
He's omnipresent. He's everywhere. So when we think that, oh, ain't nobody else looking at me, nobody can see nothing, you've deceived your own self.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The Bible says that the heart is wicked and is deceitful and desperately wicked. So what's in your heart, sometimes we think, oh, we can get away with it. It's just in my heart. Nobody knows what's in my heart. Well, the Bible says out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks.
Wow.
So you thinking that I don't know what's in your heart, but I'm listening to your mouth because the Bible told me that whatever's coming out of your mouth is what's in your heart. But you thinking it's in my heart, so I'm hiding it. But the whole time while you talking to me, I can discern what's in your heart. So people think, hey, I got the preacher fooled. Well, the preacher, all he got to do is listen to what you're saying, and he can tell you exactly what's in your heart. Oh, I can hide. No, you can't. You can't hide from God. You can't hide from his men. Plain and simple. You can't hide. Sin is deceptive, boy. That's one reason why I hate sin.
Mm-hmm.
Sin is deceptive. Number two, I hate sin because of its price. I think of the price of sin. The Bible says, for the wages of sin is death. The payment or the price for sin is death. Sin has to be paid for. And it's got an ugly price tag on it. Ask Adam and Eve. They lost their position in the Garden of Eden because of sin. They lost fellowship with God because of sin. They lost the blessings that they had because of sin. They lost eternal life on earth because of sin. Ask Moses how he lost his entrance into the promised land. I mean, Moses took the children of Egypt, the children of Israel out of Egypt and brought them, was almost at the door of the promised land that God told them they was going to. And because of sin, he came short. Think of Joseph, how his brothers, they sinned against him. And because of that, they caused Joseph to not even know who his family was. He couldn't even recognize his little bitty brother when he first came to him because he had been separated from his family. And nowadays, sin is costing us our families. We don't even, I'll just be honest, I got 9 brothers. One of them passed away. I got 8 brothers left beside myself. I got 8 brothers. And I tell you, because of sin, I have no idea but it's who they are except for 3 of them. Have no idea because of sin. I think about Cain and Abel, how it cost them, what it cost them. Sin, the sin of Adam and Eve caused Cain and Abel to inherit the gene of sin and then cost Abel his life because of jealousy. I think of so many people in the scripture, the price of sin. And then not only people in the scripture, I think of people that's sitting in the room today, how much sin has cost us. Sin cost me this. It cost me my mother's life. My mother. My auntie tried to help my mother out, and my mother decided she was going to go her own route. And my mother decided to cast away what my auntie was offering her. Say, hey, I'm not going to listen to what you're saying. I'm going about my own thing. And so probably, I don't know how old my mother was. She had to be in her late 20s or mid-20s. In her mid-20s, she contracted the disease HIV. I was already born. My other five brothers were born, but my other brothers that came after that, they were born unto a mother that had HIV. And so the first day of my high school year, not my high school year, my senior year in high school, the first day of my senior year in high school, I got a phone call. No, I got somebody coming into the lunchroom and say, hey, James, your brother is outside crying. Now, I said to myself, I said, now, something had to happen for my brother to be outside crying because people in my family don't cry that often. I never seen my brothers cry. You know, I never seen it in my life. So when she said my brother was outside crying, I said something going on. And so they said, yeah, they told you your mama died today. I said, oh, she died today. I think sin caused a relationship with me and my mama. My mama had to miss my own wedding because of sin. Because of sin, she couldn't even come see me and my wife get married. And we getting ready to have our first child, and she can't even see it because of sin. Sin has cost so much, boy. Sin costs so much, but we want to play with it. We want to be bothered with it. We want to toy around with sin. But it costs so much. It's costing us our churches. Just to be honest with you, you look around the nation, boy. You can look on the internet, boy, and you see people talking about these churches, whether they be independent Baptist, missionary Baptist, Protestant, whatever it is, it's costing us churches. Sin is. People trying to hide. People trying to get away with sin. It's costing us. It's costing us. Every time you turn around, a church closing. What happened? Well, the pastor just fell into sin, and all the people that he spent all his whole life investing in, they just don't go to the church no more because of sin, boy. I mean, people, thousands of people, because the pastor almost did right. It cost us churches. We know that the only way that people get saved is God established a Bible-believing church, and they send the members from the church out to reach those people with the gospel, and then to baptize them, and then train them up in the way that they should go, or train them up and disciple them through the word of God. That's the only way. That's the only option. That's our only chance of survival as Christians. That's our only chance in these impoverished neighborhoods is by starting local churches, but yet we lose it more than we gain. We lose it more than we starting because of sin. And we hiding it and we think it's okay.
Yeah, preach, help.
It's deceiving even the preachers in the land. You'll find that in Isaiah, how the Bible said God was looking for a man. He said, but the preachers was preaching their own thing. He's speaking things that God, they saying God said it, but God had not said it.
Preacher.
We losing pastors, preachers, and churches because of sin.
Yes.
I hate sin because of its price and its pretense, its deceptiveness. And lastly, I hate sin because of its payment. You say, well, I thought the payment and the price was the same thing. No, the price is what it cost. The payment is the actual purchasing of it. The actual purchasing of it. Turn to Hebrews with me, chapter 10. You know the verse. But I'm going to read all the verses, 1 through 12. Read these. Let's check these verses out. Good verses. Hebrews chapter 10. Verse number 1 through 10. I'll read it out loud. For the law having a shadow of the good things to come, and not the very image of the things can never with those sacrifices which they offer year by year continually make the corners thereunto perfect. For then would they have ceased from to be offered. In other words, he's saying, hey, if it was possible for sacrifices to help us, then wouldn't they have stopped to be when they stopped being offered? If it was possible for them to save us, to help us, then wouldn't they stop being offered then? That only makes sense. Let's keep reading. It says right here. It says, because that the worshipers once purged should have no more conscience of sins. But in those sacrifices, there is a remembrance again made unto sins every year. He's saying, because they have to offer them every year, he's saying, because they got to be offered every year, you're going to remember that you're a sinner. You're going to remember this. Oh, man, I got to come and remember all the sins I've done. Now I got to figure out what I got to bring for my sacrifice. Let's keep going. But in those sacrifices, there is a remembrance again made unto sins every year. For it is not possible that the blood of bull and of goats should take away sins. Amen. I'm glad I wasn't raised on a farm, y'all. So y'all have to excuse me. I was not raised on a farm. I'm a city slicker, as they would call it. Okay, I'm not finna raise a bull or no goat, and I'm definitely not finna grab it by his throat and slice his throat. You won't see me doing it. You're not gonna catch me catching a chicken and wringing his neck. It's just not something I'm gonna do. Okay, I'm from the hood. You know, listen, I stab somebody, I probably shoot at them, but I'm not gonna kill an animal. I will not do it. You can't pay me to do it. I'm not gonna cut up a goat or a bull. I ain't gonna work at a restaurant because I don't want to do it. I remember the first time I had to cut up a turkey. I'm like, what in the world is this? I'm not going to dig inside of this turkey cavity and start feeling for his heart. No, I'm not going to do that. So I thank God it's not about the blood of bulls and goats that we had to be saved. Because I'm going to be honest with you. I would not be saved today. I wouldn't be. Guaranteed. I kid you not, I would not be saved. I'd be trying to get somebody else chop it up for me, bro. Here, take this animal for me, bro. I just got used to dogs. I'm just be honest with you. If Brother Marcus didn't have no dogs and put me on the dogs, I wouldn't even be friendly with a dog. I wouldn't even come near one. Just got used to dogs, so I'm glad that I don't have to deal with bulls and goats. It says right here, wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he says, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. In burnt offering and sacrifices for sin thou hast no pleasure. Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book, it is written unto me, to do the will of O God, to do thy will, O God. Above when he is sacrificed, when he says sacrifice and offering and burnt offerings and offerings for sin, thou wouldest not. Neither has pleasure in them which are offered by the law. Then he said, lo, I come to do the will, thy will, O God. He taketh away the first that he may establish the second. By the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the what? Body of Jesus Christ once for all.
Yes, sir.
The body of Jesus Christ, the payment of sin.
Yeah.
The body of Jesus Christ. One more verse, two more verses here. And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices which can never take away sin. He said pretty much they wasting their time because Jesus gave his body already. Once and for all for sin.
Amen.
But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sin forever, sat down on the right hand of God. He took care of all of it.
Hallelujah.
And I know that's happy, but I just want to say it took. This is how depraved and how wicked we were. It took for God to say, I'm going to give myself for those who I created. It took God to say, you know what? These people are so wicked and so depraved and so bad that I got to kill myself in order for them to have payment for sin.
Wow.
No other religion you're going to find where God said, I'm going to kill myself. It don't make sense. It makes sense to us to save now. That makes sense. But if you really think about it, I was that bad that God said, let me go down here and die for this dude, James, because he just finna pay for sin all of hell. Now, sin already caused my family life. Sin has already caused my mom her life. Sin has already deceived me. But it's another thing when sin costs a payment of the body and also the blood of Jesus Christ. Revelation 1:5 says, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him who he loved us. And, let me read that. I don't want to mix that up. Let me read it right. Revelations 1:5. Let me read it right. I was going on the right track. I just got one word mixed up, and I ain't want to do that. And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sin in his own blood. So it not only costs his body, but it costs his blood.
Yes, sir.
I'm just be honest with you. I feel bad that Jesus had to die on the cross for me. I'm grateful for it, yes. And y'all know I get excited about Jesus Christ dying on the cross for me. That's one thing that thrills my soul, boy. That's why I can't sit in church and just relax when somebody preaching about the blood of Jesus. Or I can't sit in church and just relax when they get to singing about the blood of Jesus. I can't sit in church and relax when they talking about the body of Jesus Christ being beaten and broken for Brother James. I can't.
Yeah.
Why? Because I know it's a great sacrifice.
Yeah.
Hey, this dude getting a little bit too wild on the front row. He talking about Jesus. He only talking about Jesus. Well, Jesus was God, and God paid for me and you. So you should say something inside of you. Should say, you know what? Hold on now. Wait a minute. You mean to tell me that God, unlike any other God that you'll find throughout whatever they call their books, the Quran or whatever else, no other God, you mean to tell me no other God has ever paid for sin. No other God has paid for man. No other God has paid not only with just money or sheep or whatever else. This God paid with his life. So how could you sit still when somebody's singing or preaching or praising God? How could you just be so calm and lackadaisical about like God not real or something? Like, I guess.
Come on.
It's just Jesus, I guess. We heard his name so many times, it become numb to us.
We
heard his songs so many times, they become numb to us. We hear songs, oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, okay, that's another nice song. Listen, they sing about the blood of Jesus, not about the blood of Muhammad.
Come on.
Listen, if we were singing about how your family member paid in the military, if we were singing about and we was giving tribute to how your family paid in the military, it would do you great honor if we stand up and say yes and clap our hands. And say, yes, we're thankful that your family member prayed in the military so that we can have freedom in this country. So why is it strange for me when I think about God praying for me that I get up and I shout amen or hallelujah, step on a pew, step on this, step on the altar. Why is it strange? It shouldn't be.
No. Hallelujah.
It's a great price that's been paid for it.
Yes,
Jesus' own body, not Jesus sending somebody else to die. Not Jesus sending some animal to die for us. He said, I thought of you highly enough to even not sin, but come myself.
Wow. Yeah.
Have you ever been doing something and you wanted somebody else to do something and they just ain't doing it right? I know if you got kids, you tell them to do something. You say, man, go do this, do this, do this. And you go and look and you're going to be like, what in the world did I thought I told you to do this. Maybe you miscomprehended. You want to beat them. You want to beat them like, man, I told you to do this. And you're doing something opposite. It sometimes gets to the point where you just have to say, man, get out of my way and let me do it, my brother. Let me do it. Let me do it. And that's what God was. He said, you know what? I didn't told them to go sacrifice bulls and goats and this and that there and give burnt offerings and all these offerings. He said, but that wasn't good enough. They ain't doing it right, so get out of my way and let me go handle it for them.
Yeah.
This is what God was thinking about when he came to pay the price for sin, boy.
Yeah.
Jesus paid a great price for sin.
Yes.
He paid with his body and with his blood.
Yeah.
He paid with his body and with his blood. And Satan thought it was funny, boy. He thought they thought it was over with. Yep. He paid for it. His eye, he paid. Foolish man, why would he come and do that? Why? People laughing at him on the cross and everything. They represent me and you. You know that, right? Oh, they was laughing at him. Oh, no, I was laughing at him. Because it was times in my life when somebody came up to me on the street talking about some, you know who Jesus is. I'm like, dude, what are you doing? Why are you talking to me? What's going on? What's that for? I'm laughing them off like, this dude's stupid. This dude crazy. I ain't saying he's stupid, but this dude crazy. What is he doing? Dude, you don't have to. We know you scared of us. It's about 15 of us walking down the street, bro. So you coming up with a Bible talking about the Bible. I mean, I remember cracking a joke about it. Somebody tried to come and give us the gospel. And we like, yeah, we know you scared of us. It's about 15 or 20 of us walking down the street. I laughed at it. Like, okay. You see people on the train, you get to laughing at them. Like, man, these people tripping on this train. Evidently, they know something about Jesus that I don't know.
Come on.
They knew something that I didn't know. They knew about the great price that Jesus pays, and it meant something to them.
Yes, sir.
I think about why I hate sin tonight. Number one, because of its pretense. It's really deceptive. Number two, because of its price, how it cost us so much. Family members, churches cost us, even our own personal lives. And then lastly, its payment, Jesus, his body and his blood. I hate sin, boy. I hate sin. I pray that God help me to walk circumspectly in this world. I pray that God help me to walk and account me as a minister of the Lord Jesus Christ and a steward over the mysteries of God. I pray, this is my prayer tonight, that God keep me from sin. Keep me from sin because of the pretense and because of his price and because of his payment. Anytime you think about sin, think about that last one. Jesus paid for it. Think about what he did. Go back and look in the scriptures there. In the last few chapters of each one of the gospels, you will find out what Jesus did, how they spit on him and smacked him and mocked him and made fun of him.
Yeah.
Go think about that and say, oh, I think I ought to go watch this, or I think I ought to go do this. Go look in their scriptures and look at what they did to Jesus, and then think about it and say, you know what, I'm going to go participate wholeheartedly in sin. I think you'll change your mind.
Preacher.
The price was too great. The payment was too great. I pray that I help somebody tonight. God bless y'all.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Let's all